We'll read from the 18th chapter, 11. Yeah. All right? We're going to read from the 18th chapter of the Book of the Acts of the Apostles. I was thinking, some have decided that that's not really the right title for this book, that it should be the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. Well, that seems quite true up to the end of the 12th chapter, but for men it seems to be the Acts of the Holy Spirit through Paul the Apostle, because he certainly fills the pages of the last part, second part of the Acts of the Apostles. We're going to read the 18th chapter. This is a favorite chapter of mine, and some of you might have heard me speak on it in days gone by, because I have spoken on this chapter quite a lot. In fact, when I first came here, I may have, I don't remember. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were coming from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own head. I am clean from henceforth. I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed then, and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. We've been in Corinth many times, and there is actually just a quite near to the remains of the synagogue. There's remains of course homes and places there, but there is a kind of cornerstone, and I have read this with my own eyes. This is the house of justice, and it's quite near, about two houses from the synagogue. And it says that this man, his house joined hard by the synagogue. And Cyprus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul, and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong, or of wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names, and of your law, look ye to it. For I will be no judge. I will be no judge of such matters. And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of these things. And Paul tarried there a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shown his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow, and he came to Ephesus. Now, I think that he was there. May God bless the reading of his precious word. Once more, I'm not satisfied with this. Are you? Is it all right? It makes me nervous. All right, excuse me. Don't you need any PA systems in heaven? That'd be a great mercy. Let's look to the Lord. Blessed Lord, we thank thee now for this wonderful record thou hast given us in thy precious word of how the Holy Spirit worked through the apostles in these early years to establish the church. And we thank thee, Lord, that it followed the pattern and the desire of the Lord Jesus to begin at Jerusalem and then go to Judea, Samaria, and finally to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we thank thee for these records we get from the 13th chapter of the Acts on telling us about the journeys of the Apostle Paul. We thank thee for this man of God, this man of courage, this man of suffering, this man of such infinite and wonderful knowledge of the things of God, to whom thou didst make these wondrous revelations. We pray, Lord, that this morning the Holy Spirit may speak to our hearts, and we might see in a simple way thy plan for establishing a New Testament church. We seek thy blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, to me, the 18th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles is a very practical chapter. I have used it in my life on several occasions, and I can tell you it works. It's a good chapter. How to start a New Testament church. That's what I like to call this chapter. How to start a New Testament church. And I like to use as a heading the various verbs that come up. Some of you may have heard me say this before. The various verbs that come up in this chapter. So we'll go that way, step by step, and talk about it. First of all, it says, after these things, Paul departed. That's the first verb there. He departed from Athens. There's a lot of differences of opinion about Paul's visit to Athens as to what good he did. We never read of an epistle to the Athenians. Whether a church was established in Athens, I don't know. I do know that there were the same results in Athens that you get whenever you preach the gospel. Some laughed at him, some said, "You'll hear thee again," and others believed. And that's the important thing. Some believed. And amongst those that believed was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman called Damaris, and others with them. How many, I don't know. So there was enough there to form a New Testament assembly. I don't know how long Paul stayed there, but I don't think Paul felt very much at home. Although he was a man of letters and a man of learning, and although he knew even their own poets and all that, I don't think he was very much at home with all these highbrow, educated people. He says the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those people. And he said, God has made their wisdom foolishness. But he said, we preach the wisdom of God, which is Christ crucified. He said, and he writes that to this very church at Corinth. So when he went to Corinth, he said, and I think this is in the second chapter of the first epistle to the Corinthians, he said, I decided, he'd come from Athens, he departed from Athens, and that he left all that wisdom and learning, and he came to Corinth, which was a wicked city. It was known as being one of the most immoral cities in the world at that time. It was a seaport. Most seaports have a cosmopolitan kind of people there, and there's lots of sin and wickedness. Sailors come there, they're away from home, and they feel they're free to do just what they like. And there's people there to lead them in the paths and ways of sin and drunkenness and wickedness. You find that in all big seaports. And Corinth was a seaport. So was Kenchrea,
Ken Clear was only about 4 or 5 miles from Corinth, about 6 miles across the isthmus of Corinth. And then, when he went to this wicked city, he says, in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom." He'd seen all that had happened. "I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit, and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." That's the spirit in which he came to come. So he departed from Athens and came. Here's the verb then, came to come. Now, I'd like to stop a minute over this little word, came. He came to Corinth. I think Paul moved in the will of God. I don't think he just said, "I'm just going to go where I want to go." It is true, when he was writing to the Epistle to the Romans, he said, "I long to see you." And he was waiting for the will of God to go to Rome. And later on, in the 15th chapter of the Roman Epistle, he said, "And when I come to see you on my way to Spain," his idea was to go all the way to Spain. But I think all this was in the will of God. Did he get to Spain? I don't know. Many people think he did get to Spain. I can't tell you. It doesn't say so in the Scripture. But that was his great motive, to go on in the spread of the gospel. And in his journey, he was led by the Holy Spirit. And he came by the leading of the Holy Spirit to Corinth. Now let's stop there a minute. You've heard me say this many times, and I like to emphasize it. When we make moves in life, it is very important that we as Christians should be led by the Holy Spirit of God. Not get a bright idea, "I'd like to live there," or "I'd like to go there," or "I'd like to get a job here," or do so and so. We should move by the Spirit of God. Now, I speak for myself, I don't know about you. I believe God definitely called me to come to Park of the Palms. I believe God definitely called me to come to the United States and leave Great Britain. I believe God definitely sent us to Greece when we went there. This was in God's plan, but He called us to this. Clearly. Definitely. Now, when you came to Park of the Palms, did you say that the United States to live, or did you feel God was pulling you here? Very important to be where God wants you to be. And this is what Paul did. He came to Corinth according to the will of God. Now, the next verb going down there is the word found. Just underline them. I like to underline these words. He found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla. Now Claudius, the emperor, commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. Did Paul know Aquila and Priscilla before? I don't know. Was this his first meeting? It's the first recorded meeting of Paul with Aquila and Priscilla, but at Aquila and Priscilla, they lived in Pontus. I didn't bring the map out there. Bring it next time, God willing. Pontus is a way over in Asia Minor. And they went from Pontus to Rome. And then Claudius, the emperor, turned all the Jews out of Rome, and they came to Corinth. And Paul found them there. And then when Paul, as he read, the last verse he read, when he went on from Corinth to Ephesus, he took Aquila and Priscilla with them. And he found these. I like to think that they were Christians, and he found some Christian friends. Now, some think that he found them first of all there in Corinth, and in time he led them to Christ. And some think that the fact that he was a tent maker is not brought the two people that went together. I don't know. But I tell him what I do. And I expect all of you to do the same thing. When God moves me to another city, which he has done several times in life, the first thing I do is find a Christian. When I arrive in a new city, I remember very clearly 20 years ago, last January of this year, we felt it was definitely God's call to us to go to Birmingham, Alabama. We drove down and got in there about 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, found a motel, put our things in, went out nice and supper, and went straight off to find a Christian. That's what we did Saturday night. And we wandered around quite a lot, sat down in the, what was called the colored district, now it would be called the black section, I suppose, down there, and nearly got stuck in the mud right in the midst of a lot of black people, but we got out and we finally found where the Christians meet on Sunday morning. So we didn't miss the Lord's table one Sunday because we had moved to another place, but we were there on the Saturday night and found it. And that night we found Mr., you'll all know, or many of you know, Earl Miller, who was in Birmingham at that time, and we were soon introduced to the Christians. He found a Christian. These are the steps. Now sometimes God moves us to a place where there is no New Testament church like this. What do? We try and find what Christians there are there. And get together with them. And have some fellowship with them. And then God develops it. I found this is the way to start a New Testament church. I went in 1961 to the city of Wilmington, Delaware. I think I mentioned it last week when I was speaking. And we found some Christians. And in a very short while, we were breaking bread together. Oh, for several months, but this is what happened. Now, see what he did. He found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife, Priscilla. You'll read about them again, twice again in this chapter, you'll read about them. And it talks about the church which is in their house. They were great people for the Lord, these two. Wherever they went, they started a church. They got going. Now go on down to verse 3. Because he was of the same craft, he abode with them. Probably they took him into their home. I don't know. And so far he's alone because he left Paul and Silas up in Berea. And they didn't reach him in Athens. He waited for them in Athens, but they didn't catch up with him till he got to Corinth. But I don't know how long after he arrived there. You don't read of their coming to get to the 5th verse. But he abode with, he found a Christian home to stay. Now that's a great delight when you travel, to find a Christian home. My wife and I owe a debt we'll never be able to pay to the wonderful Christians who entertained us when we came to this country. When the British government would not let us bring any money, only $20 each. And how they cared for us. For 2.5 long years we had no home, except the home of the Christians. And I don't think we stayed in the motel during all those years. But twice when we were traveling across the desert to California, 50 times perhaps. But otherwise, we were always with the Lord's people. They always cared for us. And we owe debt we'll never pay back. And Paul, when he got to Corinth, he found these people whom I like to think were already Christians, and he abode with them. You're the verb. He came, he found, he abode. Now look at the next verse. To me, it's very important. And he's wrought. He's wrought. That's to say, he's worked. He's got a job of work. He wrought. So by their occupation, they were tent makers. So he and Aquila worked together. I suppose they were making sails. You see, boats in those days were driven by the wind, by sails, and it must have been a great industry making the sails. It's called a sail maker, but I think it means a sailmaker. I think he worked amongst those shipyards down there, amidst the rope and the printing and all that stuff that they used to make the sails, and he worked there at the shipyard with Aquila, making tents, or we say making tents, I wasn't, he was making sails. Now, let's turn over a moment to the second Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians, and he's writing from Corinth, and he's writing to the church of Thessalonica, and in the third chapter of the second epistle, he says this. Verse 7. Let's read verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the petition which he received from us. Now what do you mean by walking disorderly? Here he's talking about a man who's too lazy to work for his living. That's what he means by walking disorderly. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. He set an example. How ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. He's still talking about this disorderly. What does he mean by not behaving disorderly? Let's go on. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any one of you. He paid his way as he went along. How long was he in Thessalonica? We talked about this last week. Some say he stayed there 3 weeks. I don't think that. I think he stayed a long time. He worked with his hands and wrought and showed them how they should live and taught them many things which he could have possibly taught them in 3 weeks. He did go to the synagogue 3 Sabbath days, but that doesn't specify how long he stayed in Thessalonica. They turned him out of the synagogue, and then I think that's the time when he labored there. He said, I wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any one of you. Not because we had not power. That's to say, not because as an apostle I couldn't accept gifts from the Lord's people and live that way. We had the power to do that. I'm an apostle. But he says, but to make ourselves an example to you to follow us. His example was that, you know, I used to find when I lived in Greece, it was some people got the idea to get saved, but the idea, boy, I'd like to go in this kind of full-time service. You see, I wouldn't have to work anymore. And that's the thing you've got to watch on a mission field. That's why you'll find that it's with reluctance that take Christian missions to many lands and so on, with reluctance that they send gifts to native Christians. They send to our missionaries whom we have sent out. They have been commended and sent out for missionary work, and we should support them. Now, they can't. If they're going to do a full-time missionary job, they can't be spending too much time laboring with their own hands. Therefore, we have to send to them. For those native people there, they should be there. And Paul takes the example here. Not because we are not proud, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even then we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any man would not work, neither should he eat. I wonder what he'd say about our welfare state today. I wonder what he'd say about these handouts, and all these food tickets, and all these people that are living on the government here. I wonder what Paul would think of that. Neither except the man I commanded you, if any would not work, neither should he eat. This is the honest way for a Christian to live. For we hear that there's some among you which walk disorderly, working not at all, but a busybody. Now them that are such we command and exhort for the Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Now that's how Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. And he was an example. And let's look at one more reference in the 20th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. 20th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, he's talking to the elders on the third missionary journey.
He's talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, and he says, in verse 32, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Nobody knows when or where the Lord Jesus said that. It's not recorded, but Paul said he said it, so I'm sure he did. But he says, "We show you all things that so laboring you ought to support the weak." Now there's the example for the Christian. If you should earn his own living. Now I agree that a missionary cannot always do that. You can't be traveling from place to place and be working in a factory or working making sails or in a shipyard. You can't do it. Our good brother T. Ernest Wilson, as a young man, from the time he was apprenticed as a boy, worked in the Harlan and Wolff shipyard in Belfast, Ireland. And he loves shipping, and he loves everything to do with ships. You'll hear him say that. And that's where he worked until God called him to leave that. And seeing his work, he took a little bag and nothing else, with a few odd things in it, and set off to serve the Lord for 40 years in Angola, trusting the Lord. I'm sure he did a lot of work out there. But from the time he left the shipyard, he was full time in the Lord's work. But this is, could be been as you like, but this is as I see it. Now I remember when I went to Greece, I went there as an engineer and worked in an aircraft factory. The Lord blessed me, and in time I became the manager of the whole factory. Then I went to Wilmington, Delaware. I went there as a tool engineer in the Belanco Aircraft Company. And a year and 10 months, I became general manager of that factory. That's how God blessed us. But God sent us there with a job to do. And that's where God allowed us to start an assembly. So I say, for me, this has been a New Testament pattern. I have followed this chapter. And God has allowed us, in first on several occasions, to start an assembly. Start a New Testament church. That's how Paul did it. Because when we came to part of the farms, we were already retired. Not much about retirement part of it, but that's how we came here. And so we didn't have to work with our hands and couldn't do the work we were doing here, we were doing that because we had a big job to do here. So we wrought, whether by their occupation they were tending. Now what's the next thing? Well, he went into the synagogue. He began to meet with the question that, as he said, as his manner was, he went to the Jew first and then to the Greek. So, just as he went, as he saw very clearly last week in Thessalonica, he went to the synagogue and for 3 Sabbaths he reasoned in the synagogue. Now in Corinth, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded, did you look at the verb? He reasoned, he persuaded, and he testified. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Here the step. Here he is. He saw that very clearly when we were studying last week in the 17th chapter. He went into the synagogue and he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. He reasoned. He didn't upbraid them or argue with them. Well, he persuaded them. He reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And every Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue and reasoned them. He took the Old Testament scriptures, and that's all we can do. We take the Bible, and we show people from the Bible what God says. And he had to show these Jews that the Old Testament, the writings in the Old Testament, what they thought and wrote about the coming king, and they did, that those Testaments also wrote, those writings were also about the suffering Messiah, the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow. The Lord Jesus, on the road to Emmaus, he said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And that's the whole message and burden of Paul's message. He reasoned that Jesus was the Christ, that he had fulfilled these Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. As the suffering Messiah, he persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Now the Greeks, he said several times, were those proselytes who had heathen, Greek, Gentiles, who had accepted the Jewish religion. And they called them the Greeks, the Hellenists. And these were the ones with whom he reasoned, and these were the ones whom he led to Christ. Some of them. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath day, persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Now, the next verb is down in verse 7, he departed. He had one departed, he departed from Athens, but now he departed from the synagogue. His message was that Jesus was the Christ. And when they, the Jews, opposed themselves and blasphemed, he took his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own head. I am clean. From henceforth I go unto the Gentiles. You know, that's what the Jew couldn't stand. When we'll come to this later, but when he stands in the, in Jerusalem later on, and he was allowed to speak for himself. The Jews kept quiet until he said, from henceforth I go to the Gentiles. And then they all began to shout out, kill him, get rid of him. They couldn't stand that. They couldn't understand how a Jew could preach to Gentiles. So when they opposed themselves, blasphemed, he took his raiment, he said unto them, that was a custom they had to say, I'll finish it. He took his raiment. Your blood be upon your own head. I brought the gospel to you, Jews. It's up to you now. If you reject it, your blood is upon your own head. I'm going to the Gentiles. And of course, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. And he departed from the synagogue and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. I am sure that Justus was one of those who had accepted the Lord as his Savior, and now he went into that house to live. His house joined hard by the street. Now, whether he went there to live or whether he went there for meetings, I don't know, because he was living already with Aquila and Priscilla. But he went into that house, and probably in that house they had the first the Testament, the New Testament church in Corinth was probably formed and started in the house of Justus, I'm not sure. But he went into the house of Justus, whose house joined hard by the synagogue. And as I told you, I've actually seen the inscription in ancient Greek, this is the house of Justus, and it was hard by the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler, see how God's working amongst these men in the synagogue. The chief ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Now, we've seen this going right through. The Philippian jailer believed with all his house. They were all believers, old enough to be believers, and they were baptized. And here we get this man with his household, old enough to believe, and all his house they baptized. And many of the Corinthians hearing were baptized. And so the Holy Spirit of God, through the Apostle Paul, brings the gospel to Corinth. And a great church was formed. We all know by the reading of the epistles, the two epistles to the Corinthians. Then the Lord spake to Paul. You see, it may be he was going to think of going further on. I don't know. But then the Lord spake to Paul in the night by a vision, do not afraid, but speak. Hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. I love these words. For I am with thee. Do not afraid. On the shipwreck, he said, fear not, Paul.
I am with thee. Here he says, be not afraid. I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. But God looked down upon that wicked city of Corinth, and he saw many, many souls, and he wished to win to himself. And he said to Paul, don't run away, stay here. I'll see that nobody does you any harm. No man shall set upon you. You stay there and witness for me. For I have much people in this city. And now the last verb in connection with the story of Corinth is the word continued. And I like that word, that verb. And he continued there 1 year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. Now this is wonderful. This idea of come here tonight, preach Christ and run away, you can't build churches that way. I would like to see many assemblies across the panhandle, across northern Florida, but I tell you, you can't do it by an evangelist coming in and preaching for 2 nights and going. He's got to continue then. He's got to continue. Now then, how did Paul continue? Well, he's got to get support so he earned his own living. So I say, and I've stood for this for many years, that we business men, we men who have a trade or a business, we can be used of the Lord wonderfully if we're willing to make the sacrifice and go. There are many countries closed to the gospel. I would never be allowed to go to Greece as a missionary. They will not let missionaries go there. But I went as an engineer. Now I have no thoughts of ever going to Greece, but the Lord definitely called us to go there. And this is a marvel to me. Although they were not allowed missionaries to go, the Greek government paid my salary. And I had a good salary as salaries went in those days. And got a good position there. And was respected and God used me. I remember one night when I preached there, 24 people accepted Christ as their Savior. And this is wonderful. I went as a businessman. And there are many business opportunities around the world today for Christian men and women. Now we're older in years and we can't go, but we have sons and daughters and grandsons and daughters and nieces and nephews, and I think we should be persuading them to serve the Lord. You don't have to give up everything and go and live like a pauper or a tramp. You can go and get a good job and have a good home and good surroundings in a foreign country and do out there what you do here, serve the Lord. But then I don't know how many people serve the Lord today. They seem to be all full of business and cars and boats and treasures and all these things. What's come over us? Where are the young men today that are willing to make the sacrifice and devote their lives to the Lord? How few people are dedicated and consecrated, their lives wholly consecrated to the Lord? Not to make money, but to win souls. Not to get a good position in this world, but to build a church in this world. That's what God has sent us here, to be His witnesses and to establish work for Him in the world today. And how did he do it? He continued there 1 year and 6 months. That's how you do it. Continue. Look at Acts 2, I like this. It's the same word. Acts 2, verse 43, I think it is. It says, they declared to receive his word. That's verse 41. That's right. They declared to receive his word, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them 3,000 souls, and they continued. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. That's the way to go on. In the word of God, that's the apostles' doctrine. Fellowship together, breaking of bread, as we've done this morning, and prayer meetings. Go on together that way, and that's how churches are established. Now, I've used this chapter in my life and found it worked. I remember I gave a talk at the South Florida Mystery. They have a mystery prayer meeting every have a mission meeting once a month in Southern Florida. About 6-7 assemblies get together in Miami and Hollywood and Fort Lauderdale and so on. And Bill Steed, he was speaking with us on Monday. He was speaking to them last night down in Hollywood Chapel. And I spoke down there, and they asked me to give a mission talk. And amongst other things, I mentioned it. And August Van Ryan came to me after. He said, "You know what? He said, I enjoyed that. That's the best mission talk I've ever heard. That meant something coming from August Van Ryan. But he liked the way I talked about the 18th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles." That's how Paul did it. That's how he established the church at Corinth. And that's how I have proved you can do it today. They continued there a year and 6 months teaching the Word of God among. Now, of course, there comes time when you've got to move on. But we'll leave Paul there for tonight, for this morning. And the Word grew, God bless. I like the verse that says, many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So that great church was established in Corinth. May God bless these remarks. Next time we'll try and see how he went back to the base, Antioch, in Syria, but he hardly stayed at any time, took off the third mission journey. So we'll see that next time. Blessed God, our Father, we bow in thy holy presence now, and we thank thee together for this wonderful story of the Acts of the Apostle Paul. He was led by the Spirit of God. We thank you for the work he did. We thank you for giving us this record, so simple, so clear, in this 18th chapter of the Acts, to show us how we also can do what the Apostle Paul did in the power of the Holy Spirit. Blessed Lord, we thank you for bringing us here to the Park of the Promise. We thank you for the early beginnings here, when just a few of us began to break the bread together. How we found wonderful Christians here. How we work for thee here. And how thou didst bless and build and give us this lovely chapel. And we pray thee, Lord, thou lead us on. We thank you for our outreach. We thank you for the meeting you started with our prayer. And we ask that you might spread out and be able to be used in thyself to get other similar groups of people gathered together, irrespective of denomination, in thine own precious name, to serve thee according to the New Testament pattern. We commit it to thee now as we separate. We seek thy blessing on the remainder of this day. Bless our brother Majani as he speaks tonight and give us a message from thyself. We ask it in our Savior's precious name.